T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Man, is this one gonna be a doozy? Time to go to work. Drolo and Dibs, 95-7 the game. Outstanding to have you with us today. And I would imagine several of you would like to weigh in with your thoughts. So we're gonna start with this. Phone lines are open all day. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. You can light them up now. You can always hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Today is not a day where you come in and dispense pleasantries and dance around. We got the story of stories for you. Last night, the news breaks that the San Francisco Giants have found their man, and they have made it official. The Giants have hired Gabe Kapler to be the next manager of the ball club. After 13 years of Bruce Bochy, the organization is transitioning to a 44-year-old former NFL outfielder. Getting to know Gabe Kapler, he played in the major leagues for 12 years as an outfielder, was with Detroit, Texas, Colorado, Boston, Milwaukee, and Tampa Bay. He had 18 home runs with the Tigers in 1999. He hit .311 with Colorado in 2002. Most notably, won a World Series with the Red Sox in 2004. For those of you who may not necessarily remember which World Series that was the one where the Red Sox were down 3-0 to the Yankees in the ALCS and came back to win. Most recently, Kapler was the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies for 2 seasons where he went 161 and 163. And in between his playing career and his managerial stint with the Phillies, he worked with the Dodgers. This is going to be a very interesting part of the discussion because of what happened while he was with the Dodgers and because of his relationship with Farhan Zaidi while he was there. There will be more on that coming in the next few moments. But let's start with this, Dibs. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Some pleasantries because we are gentlemen on this show, first and foremost. Your initial thoughts, Gabe Kapler's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants.
Not a surprise, because this is the name that kept percolating to the top of the managerial search. There are so many names, there are so many candidates, but at the root of this entire search, you couldn't help but think that Farhan Zaidi was going to bring in somebody with whom he was familiar and with whom he was comfortable. And this is who Gabe Kapler is. Put aside all the other issues and the baggage and all that, we will get into that throughout the course of the morning. But when you think about who Farhan was going to hire, it was going to be somebody who he'd already worked with, I presumed, somebody he knew. Everyone expected this to happen, but then when the news actually breaks yesterday and it becomes real and you start to look at who this manager is, who the person is, what the backstory and the baggage truly is, all of a sudden the fact now that it's a done deal, it becomes a totally different story.
You hear the news last night. Gabe Kapler is taking over for Bruce Bochy. He's the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. What are your initial thoughts?
I think initially you think, did this happen? Because everyone said, hey, maybe this is going to happen. Kapler might be his guy. But you still think, okay, is there anyone out there that you presume is better? And that you say that had a better, there's better stats and better success. And you look at all those things and you're like, okay, I know it's saying that everyone thinks that Kapler is going to be the guy, but is it really going to become reality? And then once it happens, like Dib says, now people are going to be like, okay, who is this guy? Where'd he come from? Where is he going? And what is he going to do, bottom line, for the Giants organization? Can he become a winner and make this organization great again?
I am thoroughly impressed with the way the Giants went about making the announcement. This is a controversial hire, and we're going to get into that because of something that occurred when Kapler was working in the Dodgers organization. I'm going to give the details on that in just a moment, but they knew this was going to be a controversial hire. They knew there's going to be some backlash, and you saw it on social media last night. So there are two approaches with something like this. You can make the announcement in any series of ways. One, you can find a way to kind of slip it through the news cracks. Perhaps you're looking at a Friday evening. Perhaps it drops on a Sunday morning as the NFL is about to kick off. And therefore, it's out there. You see it. You think about it. But you quickly move on because there are other things occupying your attention. Or you can pick the optimal time to release the news for maximum effect. There is no more optimum time, in my opinion, than Tuesday night. Tuesday night because it's the NFL season. You're not going to drop it on Monday because you either have a Monday night football game or you're coming off a game. You're not going to drop it on Tuesday during the day in this instance because the Niners are coming off the Monday night loss to Seattle. You're not going to drop it Thursday because you begin the process of previewing the Arizona game, and you're certainly not going to drop it Friday because you're full into your NFL preview. That leaves Wednesday. But you don't want to drop it in the morning or in the midday because you might not have everyone fully prepped. So you drop it Tuesday night. You give everyone an opportunity to think about it, research it, put their thoughts together. And now the entire news cycle on Wednesday belongs to the Giants and the Gabe Kapler hire. That, to me, is not an organization that is running from the hire. They're an organization that understands there's some controversy. And again, we'll get to that. But they're not going to hide from it. They're going to go right out to the forefront. They're going to announce it. They're going to stand tall. They're going to address it. They're going to do everything that needs to be done. And they're going to let you know this is 100% their guy. And with that, you have to at least feel somewhat confident that if the organization is that stoked about the hire that they're willing to go about it this way, there's clearly something to this guy.
Yeah, and they did it the right way, Joe. They did Scott Harris first, the new GM. That way it feels as though Zaidi worked with Harris and they both came up with Kapler as the number one candidate. Even though it feels like Farhan's had his eye on Gabe Kapler for a long time, procedurally, you're exactly right. They did it the correct way. They announced a GM hire, and then on a Tuesday, give the full Wednesday story cycle to the new manager hire, because you know there's going to be some backlash. You know it wouldn't be wildly popular, but because you took your time with the hire, too, you didn't rush right out after the World Series and make it happen. So it looks like you as an organization did your due diligence. Every member of the ownership group had an opportunity to speak to Gabe Kapler, have your questions answered, and now the fan base on this day gets their chance to weigh in. I'm glad you gave the number 888-957-9570 because I'm fascinated to hear what people think on both sides of this issue.
The biggest thing is that even though whatever people think and decide, no matter who they would have brought in, whether it's Joe Girardi, whoever it might have been who they went out and brought into this organization, you're going to have a group of people that's going to be happy, and you're going to have a group of people that's going to be disappointed, no matter what a resume looks like. So it just depends on how bad or how good the resume looked that's going to get people to skew which other side. So no matter what, you're not going to please everyone, and never are you going to please everyone. So I think that if you look at Farhan and what he's been able to do, here's a guy that's going to do it his way, because no matter what, he lives and dies on the sword. The buck stops with him. And he's been brought in to change and fix this team, and he believes that he's doing the right thing.
If you're looking for a positive slant, this organization is now exactly that. They are organized. To the earlier point, they hired their president of baseball ops. He went out and found his general manager. They went out and found their manager. They are now all aligned with one another and all invested in one another. Scott Harris does not succeed without Kapler and without Zaidi. Zaidi does not succeed without Harris and Kapler. Kapler does not succeed without Harris and Zaidi. They're all interlinked. There's no political backdealing you have to worry about here. That's the situation you're seeing in Chicago with the Bears right now. It's the situation you saw for years with the New York Jets, because a GM would be hired. He would bring in a coach. They'd get a quarterback. They'd get rid of the coach. They'd get a new quarterback. They'd fire the GM. You need to be aligned. The GM has to be fully invested in his manager and his president. The president has to be invested in everyone. So they're all working together. The failures land on everyone's plates. The successes land on everyone's plates.
And you're seeing that with the Knicks right now play out in real time. The 2-9 New York Knicks with Fizdale on the hook and the GM and the coach not aligning with the talented roster, etc. So I'm glad they at least procedurally got it done in the correct order. Now the big questions, obviously, Gabe Kapler about 500 in his 2 years with Philadelphia, and lo, the shoes he has to fill. You're talking about Bruce Bochy, who's one of the top 8, maybe top 12, as we like to say on this program, managers of all time when you look at complete body of work and the three World Series. So to your point, no matter who you brought in, short of maybe, you know, like a Joe Girardi, somebody who's already been to the mountaintop, Tony La Russa, Torre, these are massive figures. No matter who you brought in, it's going to be tough shoes to fill.
It will be, no matter what. But it's a situation where you got to realize when you're on top, you want to, especially the position that the way they went about hiring, if you do those things and you go in that manner, then all of a sudden the coach feels that he has more gravitas than even the GM and the president. So you had to be very careful when you do this. When you, especially Farhan wasn't the guy yet. He's a guy who's been through Oakland and been in L.A., been in a lot of organizations. I get that. But also when you do that, put a guy who's just chopping his teeth, just getting his teeth wet, getting his feet wet, you have to make sure that you put him in a position to be successful as well. You don't want necessarily a dictatorship or coaches that has a strong mind.
From the 209 on the Chilton Auto Body Talks text line, hey, Joe, how about Pat the Bat as hitting coach? Mm. He was a 253 career hitter. You don't want that guy teaching anybody about hitting. That's a terrible suggestion. Hey, Stephen Langford, what's up with the Warriors?
What's Up with the Warriors is brought to you by Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco Ford dealer. An MRI revealed yesterday that guard Damian Lee suffered a non-displaced fracture in his right hand in Monday night's loss against the Jazz. He will be reevaluated in a couple of weeks and has been averaging 10 points in 21 minutes per game. The Dubs tonight, though, are in the City of Angels to take on Anthony Davis in the 8-2 Lakers. Tip time at 7 o'clock, which will be preceded by Warriors Live at 5:30. All right, here on 95.7 The Game, Anthony Davis and the Lakers, guys.
And now, the controversy. What happened with Kapler and the Dodgers, and how does it affect the team moving forward? That's next, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
For those of you who don't know about the controversy, we are about to bring you into the loop. Kapler spent 12 years as a Major League Baseball outfielder. And in between then and his stint for 2 years as the Philadelphia Phillies manager, he was in the Dodger organization as the director of player development. He was hired as the Dodgers director of player development on November 7th, 2014. 2014 is also the year Farhan Zaidi got to Los Angeles with the Dodgers. So that's the connection between the two. I'm going to go to the Washington Post, and I'm going to read directly from it because they're the ones who had the story. This is February of this year. February of this year, the story comes out. February 1st, 2019. In February of 2015, according to a police report and emails obtained through open records requests, a 17-year-old girl sent an alarming email to Gabe Kapler, then director of player development for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The girl had been partying a few nights before with two Dodgers minor leaguers and two women, she wrote, drinking Ciroc vodka and dancing in one of the players' hotel rooms here near the Dodgers spring training complex. After consuming about half the bottle, the girl wrote, she vomited on the bed, angering the two women, who threw her out of the room, kicking and punching her in the process. Rather than come to her aid, according to the girl, one of the Dodgers players videotaped the beating on his phone and then posted the video on Snapchat. I'm jumping in here. The other player was reportedly passed out at this time. Back to the Washington Post. Quote, the boys got me drunk and the girls beat me up. She wrote, your player videotaped it all. Now, as it continues, Kapler didn't contact the police, according to records, nor did others with the Dodgers that he consulted. Instead, Kapler tried to arrange a dinner with the girl and the players and engaged in discussions with the girl's grandmother. More of the story goes on, but the fact that he didn't alert police, the fact that he tried to arrange a dinner, this is the controversy. Now, Farhan Zaidi was with the Dodgers as well during this time. He knew this was going to be a very controversial hire and that this would come up. So he had a quote yesterday for everyone who was on the conference call last night after the Kapler news broke. Quote, obviously, there's been stuff written over the last couple of weeks over the incident in Los Angeles. To be honest, it's given me a chance to reflect on those incidents and how we handled them as an organization. We've had the opportunity to talk to people in the community and talk to experts to try and learn and understand what we did and what we did wrong. As I've had time to reflect on it, I've realized the biggest mistake we made was asking the wrong questions. In those situations, we asked, what do we have to do? Instead of, what is the right thing to do? I can only speak for myself. I'm truly sorry that from my perspective, I didn't ask the right questions and address things appropriately. I view it as a learning experience, and it's something I want to take into the future in the organization and hold us to the highest standard, end quote. So the controversy surrounding Gabe Kapler, how big of a deal is this to you, Dibs?
It's a pretty big deal because I don't think, and he's been able to speak to it, and maybe when he gets introduced, there's a question about this and he can speak to it more directly, but to me, it's more than just a mishandling of a situation, because there are more additional allegations that came out, sort of details. The young lady involved basically disappeared. She ran away from a group home subsequently, and charges were never brought forward. And the Dodger players who are alleged to have been involved, minor leaguers, were never named. And the whole thing was basically kind of laid to rest. And now it percolates back up because of this hiring. So I'd like to hear the new manager speak to it, speak directly to it, because especially in this area, I think we have a hypersensitivity toward these sort of issues, and certainly toward, you know, the Me Too movement and victims' rights, etc. So I know there's a large part of the fan base that still wants to hear more clarification on why it was handled that way.
It certainly brings up the question of, you know, people make mistakes. Do they deserve second chances? This is a hire that's going to bring a certain level of controversy. So you hear about the story. What do you think about the organization making this hire? Controversy or no? Are we overblowing it?
There's so many things that when you're reading the article, Joe, went through my mind. One, didn't mention the players. Were they minors? Don't know, because they didn't mention the names. So are they 17, 18? I don't know if they're – it's because it's a minor league. The girl, young lady, 17. I too, have daughters. And if I had a daughter, you know, fortunately, hopefully she won't be in a room drinking with, you know, pro ball players, minors, and then other gals as well. If so, hope wouldn't take it to that extent. It doesn't – still, because she did get drunk and all those things, it doesn't make it right. So I do understand that. So – is this a situation where you have some young minors and all these together and took to have too much? Okay, girl throws up, kick her out. Still shouldn't have did that. But are they mature enough? How many times have you seen, and I'm not saying that I participated in it, but I've seen being at parties, someone's drunk. They're like, okay, they put them in, out of the room because they've thrown up, and you've seen it. People are throwing up and doing stupid things. Still doesn't give you the right to put your hands on someone. Still doesn't give you the right to hit anyone. And hopefully they understood and they're going to learn from this. So is it wrong what happened? Absolutely. He said he was wondering what could we do. They should have been. They asked the wrong question. So what has for anxiety, and you know what have they learned from this? And only time will tell. They didn't handle it the right way. We all know that that wasn't handled the right way. And I know if they have children, they wouldn't want their children beat up and put outside, especially intoxicated, for different things, elements can happen to them. So we know that situation was handled wrong.
After Kapler tried to arrange the dinner with the girl and the players, about a week later, the girl's case manager with Arizona's Department of Child Safety contacted the police. When officers interviewed her hours later, according to the report, she offered an even darker account of the evening. Back to the Washington Post we go. Quote, before the beating, the girl told police, one of the Dodgers players had sexually assaulted her as she lay on the bed, struggling to remain conscious. The incident, which has not been previously reported, is the latest to raise questions about oversight of the Dodgers minor league and scouting operations, currently one focus of a Justice Department investigation of possible corruption in Major League Baseball's dealings in Latin America. Now, there will be much more spoken on this, and much more that will come out in the coming days as Kapler meets the media today and as Zaidi and everyone will meet the media today as well. But think about how much you have to love this guy to look through this and to look through what happened in Philadelphia and say he's the guy that's taking over for Bruce Bochy. Perhaps the most beloved of all managers / coaches in Bay Area sports history. Maybe he's not number one, but he's certainly close. He had a great run of success, universally liked, great attitude, friendly, everything you could possibly ask for. For him to leave, and now it's coming out, obviously he was forced out because he said he wants to keep managing. So for them to let his contract play out and then move in a different direction to bring in a guy who went 161 and 163 in two seasons with the Phillies, nothing on that resume whatsoever speaks to having any level of success with that team. And again, that's a lot of people to take the blame for what happened there. It's not just him. And then to have this incident in the closet, the skeleton in the closet, and to realize all that's on the table and to still hire him, how much do they have to love this guy? Like, you have to look at this guy right now and think they believe he is the next big thing in Major League Baseball.
They have to, especially against the backdrop of what happened with the owner, Larry Bear, and the public spat over a cell phone that involved his wife and was perceived as an affront to women at the very least. And now you bring in a guy who has this particular skeleton, not in his closet, but he made a poor choice. Farhan admitted as much. So They absolutely must think that this guy is the next big thing.
John Heyman, MLB insider for radio.com. What is Major League Baseball saying about the hire, and how fast can Kapler get this thing turned around? That is on the other side, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
All right, thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Wave Broadband. The Giants' managerial search is over. San Francisco has hired former Phillies manager Gabe Kapler. The team will introduce their 39th manager today in a press conference at noon. We'll air it right here on 95.7 The Game. But who is Gabe Kapler, and what was his previous relationship working with Farhan Zaidi? Jolo and Dibs are giving you the deets on Kapler, and we'll talk to Radio.com baseball insider John Heyman next. But we also want to hear from you. 49ers have also been flexed in Week 12. Niners and Packers will be in the primetime Sunday night spot. Niners and Rams week 16 has been moved to Saturday night. We'll talk about the moves and the Niner loss with former Niner coach Steve Mariucci at 8:30. And the Warriors are back on the road. Next up, L.A. to face LeBron and Lakers tonight. Coverage starts with Warriors Live at 5:30. Tip off at 7 here on 95.7 The Game. From video chatting with family to streaming music with friends, high-speed internet service from Wave brings you closer to the things you love and the people you care about the most. Right now, get high-speed internet starting at $19.95 a month for 6 months. Go to wave.com for details. I'm Anna Kagadakis on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Right, let's go to the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Radio.com sports MLB insider John Heyman, who's brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019 for your first refill pack for free. John, thank you for joining us on such short notice. We greatly appreciate the time. The Giants have hired Gabe Kapler. We're very close to the situation being here in the Bay Area. As someone who covers all of MLB, take us through it. What are your thoughts on the hire?
Well, it really can't be surprising. We all knew that Farhan Zaidi absolutely loves Gabe Kapler, and that he strongly recommended Kapler to many other teams, and the Phillies took him up on it. He managed 2 years in Philadelphia. Obviously, he didn't get the results that he sought or the Phillies sought. He was let go with a year to go on his deal. And, you know, I don't think we can be shocked that Farhan Zaidi has chosen Gabe Kapler, someone who's very familiar with from the Dodgers, and obviously liked it quite a bit when he was with L.A.
John, what were the positive and the negative impressions of his time with Philadelphia, a tenure that ended barely below 500 after just two seasons?
Yeah, he came in as a rather polarizing figure. The word was that, you know, some people loved him in L.A., particularly the bosses, Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, and that several of the other people did not love his way so much in L.A., and, you know, I think he did better with the clubhouse. You know, you hear mixed things, but you probably hear that from any clubhouse. You know, I don't hear that the players loathed him or anything like that. I think generally it was okay. He seemed to have a good personality in the public. There was definitely some positives. Obviously, the results were not great. I think it was a game below or a half game below 500 for 2 years, and that didn't look good, especially with them spending $330 million on Bryce Harper and another $150 million on other players last winter. To me, looking at the results of it, I think the real criticism, and this was not really enunciated at the press conference for whatever reason, those press conferences are always uncomfortable, particularly in that case where the general manager and the front office wanted, or much of the front office wanted, to keep Kapler, and the owner made the call ultimately to move on and eventually hired Joe Girardi. But I think that the biggest issue was that the players did not perform. They did not play even close to their capability. Bryce Harper did what you'd expect. I mean, he's not one of the top five players in the game, as the contract may suggest, but he had a lot of home runs, walked a lot. He was fairly dynamic in the field, but he struck out a lot and didn't have a high batting average. He was good overall. It's what you expect. JT Realmuto was excellent defensively, ran the bases, hit like you'd expect. But beyond that, it's hard to name guys on the Phillies that performed anything close to what they'd hoped. So, you know, I think that's the most important thing for managers, to get the players to play. And for all the criticism that Dave Roberts took, he gets the players to play. They play for him. They called up about 9 rookies with the Dodgers last year, and they all performed. So, you know, some people could think that's luck, but I think when you have 50 or 60 guys play for a year, I don't know that that's luck. So, you know, certainly a learning curve. He learned, probably learned something. He's a very smart guy, but it's unclear whether he's going to be a good major league manager at this point.
No question. And, you know, in sports, especially, you know, football as well, you know, you build from, you know, the middle up, you know, get a good center, get a good, of course, a quarterback. And in baseball, you know, get a good catcher, pitcher, kind of build through that same type of a way. When you're looking at Kapler, how is he? He was a guy who played in Major League Baseball. We get that. Does he build good relationships with players? Is he a player's coach? Has he tried to separate himself? What are you hearing about the little nuances about his ability to resonate with players?
Yeah, I mean, it was a mixed bag in Philly. I think some players liked him. Others were more skeptical, and he didn't win them over. You know, I don't think you'll hear some people say that he was hated. I don't think that's a case, at least not universally. You'll hear some say that he was loved. You know, I think by some he was. So I think it was kind of a mixed bag. Is he relatable? I think that's still a question that's out there. He's, a very smart guy, a bit of an intellectual. I don't know if he's a kind of a bro guy, really. You know, he may not be the most relatable to today's player. But, you know, he's certainly got a very charming personality. He can win people over. He's obviously done that in many important cases. You know, I think the main question is, can he motivate players to play to their ability? We didn't see that for the 2 years in Philadelphia. And, of course, there are other questions. There were many other things that went on in L.A. And so I think the reason this took so long is they were anticipating a backlash, and they were trying to judge exactly how big the backlash would be, how big a PR hit that they would take, and whether it was worth it to do that going forward. And I think basically they were leaning this way probably the whole time. You know, I knew there were reports that Spada was maybe looking like the front runner at one point, but I mean, Farhan Zaidi loves Kapler. And he hired Kapler. So I think this is the guy that he wanted. I think when you love a guy, you know a guy, it's hard to pick somebody that you really don't know and just through an interview setting, because then you're always really going to have regrets, you know, if anything starts to go wrong right away. This is the guy that he believes in. So I think this is probably the anticipated result.
I don't want to seem kind of redundant and repetitive. When you're talking about, okay, so there was mixed emotions about some players loved him, some didn't. Is this because baseball is changing far as just a new player that is coming out? Is he a guy that you think that, hey, if he has young guys that he can build, is that different than having a veteran team that's which he had?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are certain guys who can relate to the young players. And San Francisco is going to have a lot of young players. At least that's the way they need to go, and I think that's the way they will go. Philly had a lot of young players. I know they spent money on some free agents, but they had a lot of young players. There's a certain type of personality who's kind of like a regular guy, like an Aaron Boone, even though he, you know, grew up in a wealthy household as the son of a ball player. You know, he's a regular kind of guy. You know, Gabe Kapler is a more of an intellectual kind of guy. And, you know, you wonder if he's relatable to your average ball player. He may be in the end. It may turn out to be. We have a small sample size to this point, and as I said, it was a mixed bag in Philadelphia. So I guess it's all yet to be determined. He's only managed for 2 years. There is some resume there as compared to some of the other candidates, the finalists. But I think that's yet to be determined how relatable he is to a young ball player. He's a very smart guy, and perhaps he can learn, but I think that's an open question we still have to answer.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we're up against it, but we've got to ask, this incident that happened while he was with the Dodgers in 2015 regarding the underage girl, the minor leaguers, the hotel room, how he tried to arrange the dinner rather than reporting it to police, what's the proper level of outrage here? How concerned should Giants fans be over this incident?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know this is a little bit of a cop-out. I don't know all of the particulars of it. I'm not sure how many people do. So it's hard for me to really comment on it too much. It appears that he didn't do the right thing. You know, he tried to smooth over the situation, and it appears that was not the right thing to do. But, you know, as I said, I don't know all of the details of it. You know, obviously, Farhan Zaidi was there. You know, he knows the details of it. He obviously feels comfortable with it. Zaidi, I think, is a very honorable guy, and I don't, you know, think that he was into sweeping things under the rug. You know, I think he's an honorable sort, and you know, he's made the judgment. He recommended him to Philly, and now he's hired him, made him his most high profile. Hire a general manager, but he's the guy still in charge. So this is his most high-profile hire. So he's comfortable with it. You know, I think it doesn't look good what he did. I think he made a mistake. You know, is it something that is disqualifying? You know, I don't know enough about it to say that it's disqualifying. It certainly was not handled correctly. You know, beyond that, I don't want to go too far because I don't know, and I don't think all the details have really come out on it, but I think this is the part of the problem. They anticipated a backlash here in San Francisco. In Philadelphia, it wasn't as much. Philadelphia is more meat and potatoes. They want to know if they're going to win or not win, and that's it. In San Francisco, you know, this issue is an issue, and rightfully so. It should be, but I think the details need to really come out before we really make a judgment on it too much. But he did not handle it correctly.
Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman with us here on 95.7 The Game. John, we appreciate you joining us on such short notice. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
Those 2 years in Philadelphia, how much should we scrutinize them? That's next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Do you agree with San Francisco's decision to hire Gabe Kapler? Yes or no? There's going to be a lot that's discussed from what happened when he was with the Dodgers in 2015. There should be a decent amount discussed on what happened in Philadelphia the last 2 years in his first managerial stint. I'm not sure how much of the blame he deserves. He clearly deserves some. He obviously does not deserve all. When a team underperforms to this extent, especially last season when the Phillies had all that talent, everyone's going to share some of that responsibility. The players, Harper, management, coaches, everybody. But here's what stands out to me, because as a manager, I'm not necessarily expecting you to be the most tactical when it comes to baseball. Shanahan, yeah. Steve Kerr, yeah. Baseball, you got to make a series of decisions, but ultimately that game lies more in the hands of the players than any other sport, in my opinion. And what worries me about his time in Philadelphia is that he had two playoff contenders in back-to-back years, and both years they fizzled in the second half and then flamed out in the month of September. When they should have been at their most competitive, they were at their absolutely least competitive. When they should have been their most successful or their most challenging, they were their least successful. They had their biggest failures. And I wonder how much of that is on him. Case in point, 2018, he had a decent team. No one was expecting much. 2019, the bar was raised. Obviously, the signing of Real Muto, of Harper, Segura was in there. You had a good baseball team. So here's how we performed in the first half of each of those seasons. 2018, the Phillies were 53-42 at the break. 53-42. They were a half game up in the NL East. So they actually had the lead at the All-Star break. They ended up going 27-40 down the stretch. They went 8-20 in September, and they took a half game lead in the division at the break and turned it into a 10 game deficit, also finishing 10.5 back in the wild card. All right, young team. Wasn't built for a 162 game season. That happens. Let's see if you learn from the mistakes. Obviously, you got more talent the next year, so let's see how you perform. So here come the Phillies in 2019, firing from the gate again, 47-43 at the break. So they're four games over, which means Kepler in the first half of his two Major League Baseball seasons was 185. He was 15 games over 500. Now, the NL East was more competitive last year, so they were a half game back of Washington for the first wild card spot. So they're right there. They had wild card spot two at the break. 2 years in a row, if the season ends at the break, they're in the playoffs. How do they finish now? Did he learn from his mistakes? Because they petered off in the second half of year one. They actually fell apart just as bad in year two. 34-38 after the break, 12-16 in September. Kepler for his career is 17 games under 500 in the second half of baseball seasons. And they turned what was a half game back of Washington for wild card one into an 8-game deficit on the wild card, finishing 16 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the NL East. That's what concerns me. As a manager, I'm not expecting you to have the most savvy tactical decisions. You're not scripting the first 15 plays in a matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. But here, 2 years in a row, you had a team that had a playoff spot at the break, and both times you faded in dramatic fashion down the stretch. It's not 100% on you, but how much of that do I need to be concerned about now with the Giants?
A significant amount, because you look at what Bruce Bochy did in his time here as a tougher manager than what Gabe Kepler appears to be. He's been called a player's manager, and he allows players to do what they want ostensibly. He's a looser manager. He'll always defend his players publicly when there's any possible controversy. He errs on the side of the player. Yet, you look at the results in the second half, the 2 years in Philadelphia, they were subpar, especially last year. You look at Washington, that was a team that was dead in the water after 70 games, yet they found a way to turn it around, make the playoffs, and then win the World Series. So his job, first and foremost, is to get the players to perform, not for 81 games or 100 games, but for 162. And that's really, when you look back at Bruce Bochy's career, and I know it's probably not over as it pertains to him being a manager, but here in San Francisco, he was elite when it comes to managing game one and game 162 and every game in between in the same manner.
Bochy's club was never viewed as the most talented in baseball. Like, there was never a point where you were like, the Giants are loaded. He just got the most out of every single one of his pieces.
Right, and they didn't fade. They tended to not fade in September. If they were a team that was going to be in it in August, then they played well in September. If they were a bad team like we saw in 16, 17, 8, or 17, 18, and then 19, it didn't matter in September. Like, last year, they were ferocious in September. This year, they were just okay.
What do you make of this? It's just 2 years, but in both years in Philly, he faded in the second half of the season. The first year, I understand, but to not learn from that in year two is what has me troubled.
Yeah, I can see that. I just look at certain things and you say, "Is how much is facts is at the absolute truth?" If you see me coming out of a friggin' hotel room and it's a bunch of someone in there that probably shouldn't be in there, you wonder, okay, that is a fact. But then you say, did I go in there because someone needed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, or I heard someone in there fighting, or something happened? You don't know the full story. So it's easy for us to say, hey, this is a fact, but does facts always equal the absolute truth? So probably no. I think it's safe to say that. But you can look at it and say, what's going on in the second half of this season? After you get to 81, what's going on in the second half? Is there little things, attention to details that are sliding through the cracks? Is because, you go in and you work the guys early, and then all of a sudden you don't hold them accountable in the second half. You think that they're going to just kind of lead themselves? Are you keeping do you have the finger on the pulse to understand your team and who they are as a manager? Or, because you hear we brought on the guys from there and said, hey, the guy is smart. So if he's smart, he knows the analytics, he knows those part of it. But does he have the human element of it? And those are things that I see a lot of guys that are freaking unbelievable, smart, that know X's and O's, that talk you through the room. You're like, wow, that dude is buttoned up as a coach. You're like, man, that could be an awesome coach. But then does he have that it factor? Does he have it where players are going to look at him and say, I'll run through a wall for him? Does players where he can look at a guy a certain way and, okay, I got to pick up my performance? Or is it certain that, hey, here's what it says, here's what we should be doing? And I think the human element of that, you know how we are, Joe. You talk about this new generation, the Generation Z, whatever it may be, that it's phones, it's Instagram, all the different stuff that we get overload, so we want instant gratification. Does he have the enough resources, or the people, the coaches and the other managers that he brings in? Are they going to be able to carry out the things that he can't do? And that's also push guys on a consistent basis, like you guys just alluded to with Bochy, the skipper was able to do to keep guys playing consistent. Does he have that, and can he get that? Because that seems to be the thing that's missing.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You are not going to want to miss this. 7:30, half hour from now, former Giant Michael Morse. I mean, you may say, all right, I see Morse on TV. I'm sure he's got some insight here. Morse on Twitter last night didn't seem overly enthused, as I massage this, did not seem overly enthused with the Kapler hire. As soon as I saw his tweet, I reached out to our producer. I was like, see if Michael Morse will be kind enough to share some time with us tomorrow morning. Because if you don't like the hire, I want to hear why, especially if you played for Boch and used to be a member of this organization. So Michael Morse at 7:30, mark it down. Steve Mariucci will join us today at 8:30 as well, as the Niners try to get set to rebound off of Monday night's loss against the Seattle Seahawks. The details of the big story today are as follows. The news broke last night. The Giants have hired Gabe Kapler as their new manager. He got a 3-year contract. He will be introduced at Oracle Park today. 44 years old, spent 12 years in Major League Baseball as an outfielder for the Tigers, the Rangers, the Rockies, the Red Sox, the Brewers, and the Rays. He was with the Red Sox in 2004 when they had that epic comeback from trailing 3-0 to the Red Sox in the ALCS, or excuse me, to the Yankees. Came back to win the ALCS, then swept the Cardinals in the World Series to break the curse of the great Bambino. He was Los Angeles Dodger Director of Player Development, hired November 7, 2014. That's an interesting part of the story because of what happened while he was there and how people are viewing that in a controversial light today. Phone lines are open all day, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Went to social last night, tried to follow as much as I could when the announcement came down that he was hired. It felt like a lot of people did not like the hire. But again, is social media, Twitter, Facebook, is this really a true temperature of the fan base? That's what you always wrestle with. It seemed that there was more negativity than positivity. So my thought was, I'm going to try to slice this both ways today because ultimately we're not sure how this is going to play out. We can project, but no one has any clue. Went through the negative aspect of it, which was the time in Philadelphia. Now I want to transition to the positive aspect of it. What you should be hearing a lot about is how Kapler has learned from his time with the Philadelphia Phillies, and he is going to build upon that moving forward. And then you're going to start to hear some very key names. Terry Francona is going to be one of the first names you end up hearing. Francona, many of you remember or know currently as the manager of the Cleveland Indians, guided them to the World Series just a few years ago. Francona was also a wildly successful manager with the Boston Red Sox from 2004 to 2011, winning the World Series in 04 and 07. What many people forget is that Francona winning with the Red Sox was his second managerial stop. His first was in Philadelphia, much like Kapler, where he went 285 and 363. He was 78 games under 500 from 97 through 2000. Wasn't viewed as a good manager. Got a second opportunity, had a wild amount of success in both Boston, and is currently enjoying a lot of success in Cleveland. What about Bobby Cox? Everyone knows him as the legend with the Atlanta Braves. Won the World Series in 95, went to the World Series 4 other times and lost. Was manager of the year in 91, 04, and 05. Oh, by the way, he managed Atlanta from 78 to 81, where he was 57 games under 500. And he managed the Toronto Blue Jays from 82 to 85, where he was 63 games over 500. Had a little bit of success there. But the bottom line is, if Bobby Cox doesn't get another opportunity, he never becomes the Bobby Cox we all know and love today. No one remembers the first stint with Atlanta. Everyone remembers the second. What about Joe Torre? Everyone knows Joe Torre. I was going through this last night. Joe Torre with the Yankees went to the playoffs 12 of 12 years. He didn't miss the playoffs one time. He showed up and was in the playoffs every single year. He won 4 World Series and lost 2. But he was 134 games under with the Mets in his first managerial stint. He was slightly over 500 with the Braves when he was there for 3 seasons. And then he was slightly under 500 when he was with the Cardinals for five seasons. No one remembers that about Joe Torre. They just remember the success. So you got to figure that's part of the equation here, that whatever happened in Philly is going to make Kapler a better manager for the Giants.
And the things that people cite as far as his positives go are things that probably won't be eroded. And one is his intellect. Every report you read, they all talk about how smart he is, how in tune he is with analytics. And he's these new school managers. He's 44, so he should be able to relate to both the veteran players, and the Giants are going to have four, five, or six guys in their early to mid-30s this year, but also relate to the younger players as well. You look at what he did in Philadelphia, 2 years is a small sample size. We can look at the roster composition, especially last year. You mentioned Real Muto, who's an all-star. You bring in Bryce Harper, who had a good but not a spectacular year as it relates to the contract. The GM in Philadelphia probably wanted to keep him for the third year of his 3-year deal, but ownership felt like a change was needed. So it's not like he was an absolute abject failure in Philadelphia. It was a situation where a change needed to be made. He had 1 year left. Ownership made the move. So there are things you can look at outside of the controversy in LA and maybe some perceptions from some players. He has done some things, and he does have some pelts on the wall to where you could look at it and say, all right, this guy is... he has a chance to come in and be a good manager for Farhan.
I want to ask you something in just a second, but a programming note. The king of Philadelphia sports media, Howard Eskin, is coming on in 10 minutes. So if you want a wildly entertaining viewpoint on the Gabe Kapler hire, Howard Eskin in 10 minutes at 7:15, and then Michael Morse, former San Francisco Giant, at 7:30. What's the key for a guy like Kapler to come into the clubhouse and get buy-in from the older guys? The younger guys are one thing. They're still new. Posey's been around. Belt's been around. Crawford's been around. The list goes on and on. These guys have only ever known Bruce Bochy. So how do you get buy-in from the veterans when you come in on day one?
You got to meet them on day one. You got to pick up the phone. Already, you knew this was happening. You pick up the phone. You call Posey. You call those guys that you know that, hey, look, that they're going to be your glue and they're going to be your mainstay. And what do? You say, hey, we're going to try to change this culture. We're going to act not just the change. We're going to get back to where you guys used to be. Hey, I'm going to need you guys' help. Hey, look, I don't know everything. Hey, but I want to see what are we missing? What do you take their advice? And even if you don't necessarily listen to, at least you took their advice. At least you got to understand and make them feel like they're going to have a voice. That's the first thing that you got to do, especially when you're a guy that's, you know, that's younger manager coming in, that these guys feel that they know just as much as you. It's not. Sit down, talk with them, let them know what your philosophy is, let them know what you're trying to do. And now all of a sudden, because guys know right away, we live in a generation now, dude, you know right away, a third grader, fifth grader, they know what's real and what's not now. They understand. You can't just give them fluff. High school kids, they understand it. These men do too. So you can't just give them fluff. You sit down and show them what you have, the knowledge that you have, all those different things that you're going to help try to bring to the table, and take the good and the bad. You know, bring some of the old in with the new. But understand that's a melting pot. If you can mesh with those group of guys as well as the young guys, that's the key. That's his first step to do that, to win that locker room over. Because if you have those veteran guys that have your back in that clubhouse, you're going to set yourself up for more success than not.
These guys love Bochy. They love Bochy. How hard do you think?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.